It's the new Gay Family series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper. Two people who live together and like it. As we look in on the Coopers today, it is breakfast time. And at the table, a little domestic drama is taking place. George is engrossed in the morning paper, and Liz finds herself sitting there with no one to talk to. This, of course, is a scene which never happens in any other home. One thing about George, though, no matter how interested he is in the paper, when Liz speaks, he comes right to attention.
George. George. You haven't kissed me this morning.
Hmm?
George, I'm talking to you.
Hmm?
George Cooper, do you want me to set fire to that paper?
Yes, dear.
All right, you ask for it.
Liz, you smoke. Hey, the paper's on fire! Liz! Come on! Put it out! She was there! Gosh! How do you suppose that ever happened?
I lit it.
You?
Yes, me, and it's all your fault.
My fault? I was just sitting here minding my own business.
Oh, no, you weren't. I'm your business at the breakfast table. You pay attention to me, not the sports page.
Gee, Liz, I just took a
Ever
little...
Ever since spring training started, there have been 11 of us eating breakfast.
11?
Yes, you, me, and the Dodgers.
Oh, Liz, you're exaggerating.
I am not. How do you think I feel, George? You don't pay any attention to me. When you kiss me on the cheek, you don't even look up. It might just as well be a lump of putty.
Well, no one can say I treat my wonderful wife like that. I'll put the paper away right now.
Well, that's better.
I won't even finish this article I was reading about golf.
Say, look at the round demerit shot yesterday.
George? George?
Hmm?
Kiss me.
Yes, dear.
Kiss me again. There, you did it twice.
What?
For your information, you just kissed this half a grapefruit. I held that out instead of my cheek and you kissed it.
Oh, now, Liz.
You don't even know the difference between my cheek and a grapefruit.
You too. I knew it all the time.
Well, why didn't you say something?
Well, I couldn't. I had a seed caught in my teeth.
Oh.
Come here, honey. You're right, you know. It's awful the way I get mixed up in the paper and forget everything else. I don't mean to.
Well, it's nice of you to admit it. George, do you want to do something to make up for it?
Yes.
Then you tell Katie she can't have this Saturday off.
Well, Liz, that's tomorrow. You were supposed to tell her that a week ago. We've invited the people already.
I know. I just didn't get around to doing it. You know how Katie is. She gets so mad.
Are you afraid of her?
Don't be silly.
Well, then tell her. I wouldn't blame her for getting angry now. She's probably made plans for tomorrow night.
You tell her, George. It's a man's job.
No, Liz. You have to learn to run your own house.
Couldn't I not tell her at all? We could get someone else in.
No.
Maybe I could try to make her think tomorrow's Friday.
No, Liz. Now I want you to tell her right now when she brings the coffee in.
All right. I will. I'm not afraid.
Good.
Why should I be afraid of her?
Yeah, well, here she comes. Well?
Coffee, Mrs. Cooper?
I mean, no thanks, Katie.
Well, I'll take the pot back in the kitchen.
Oh, Katie.
Yes, sir?
Mrs. Cooper has something to tell you.
Yes, Mrs. Cooper?
Hello?
Hello? Is that all you wanted to tell me?
Yes, that's all.
Katie. Katie, we're having company tomorrow night, so you won't be able to take the evening off.
Oh, all right, Mr. Cooper. That'll be fine. I'll make something real nice.
Well, I'll be... Oh, I'm such a fool, George. I don't know why I'm always afraid to speak up when I know the easiest way is to face the problem and get it over with.
Well, not only that, it's the principle of the thing.
I know it.
If you don't stand up for your rights, people will walk all over you.
You're right, and from now on, I'm going to stand up for my rights. And if anyone doesn't like it, that's just too bad.
Good. Hand me the cream, Liz.
Here.
Hey, this cream is sour.
Oh, it can't be. The milkman only delivered it yesterday. Here, I'll throw it away.
No, don't throw it away, Liz. The thing to do is to show it to the milkman and make him give you a new bottle.
Oh, but George, it's only a little old pint of cream.
Liz?
It isn't worth fussing about.
Liz?
It probably only took the cow a couple of seconds.
You never know it the way they charge for it.
Well, you see, the expense comes in training the cows to sit on those little bottles.
Well, bad jokes aside, it's the principle of this thing that counts. You've got to speak to the milkman and stand up for your rights.
All right, George, I'll speak to him.
That's my girl. I'd like to hear what you say to him. What time does he get here?
Oh, he doesn't get here until late in the afternoon. Way, way late.
Oh, too bad.
Mrs. Cooper.
Yes, Katie?
The milkman's coming up the bar.
Oh.
What do we need today?
I want to see him, Katie. He left some sour cream here yesterday.
No.
Yes, and he can't do that to me. Come on, I'm going to stand up for my rights.
That a girl.
Who does he think he is? The more I think about it, the madder I get. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind.
Oh, here he comes, the poor fella.
That's telling him, Liz.
Well, it was just a little old pint.
Liz, I'm disappointed in you. Oh, Mr. Milkman.
Yes?
Could I see you a minute?
Oh, sure.
Oh, you're brave now. I softened him up for you.
Yes, sir.
The cream you left here yesterday was sour.
Sour? You mean a pint of Hogan's frolicking milkmaid cream was sour?
That's right.
Oh, this is terrible. Oh, I shudder to think what Mr. Hogan's going to do to that cow that give that milk.
Oh, what will happen?
Tomorrow morning, that cow will get a milker with cold hands.
Well, I honestly don't think we should be charged for the pint. It wasn't any good.
Charged? Who here let us make it up to you? Have some whipping cream on Hogan. Have a pound of butter. A dozen eggs.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Let him alone, George.
And because you've been such a good sport, a year's supply of cottage cheese.
You hit the jackpot.
It's just our way of keeping our customers happy. You see, we can't afford a radio program.
Well, thank you.
Oh, think nothing of it. Well, see you tomorrow.
There, see how easy it was, Liz?
Oh, George, I really learned my lesson this time. You'll see. Katie, George was so right. Did you notice the way I spoke right up to that butcher at the meat market just now?
I nearly died when you told him to hold both hands over his head while he was weighing the steak.
Well, I'm tired paying 80 cents a pound for his thumb. He sure jumped when I told him off, didn't he?
And I guess it pays to speak up.
Oh, wait a minute, Katie. I want to get a piece of gum out of this machine. I got a penny here someplace. Oh, here it is. Well, where's the gum? How do you work this thing?
Well, here are some directions. One, put penny in slot.
I did.
Two, push lever in. Three, pull lever out.
Four, where's the gum?
Maybe it's out of gum.
Well, then I ought to get my penny back. What's the matter with this thing?
Mrs. Cooper, it's only a penny.
I don't care. It isn't a penny. It's a principle of the thing. I don't like to be robbed.
Mrs. Cooper, there's a crowd gathering.
Well, let them gather.
All right, all right. What's going on here?
Officer, I put a penny in this machine and nothing came out.
Temper, temper. That's no way to handle it, getting robbed. You're shaking the whole building and people have work to do in there.
You're about as funny as this machine.
Hey, just a minute. Someone's been breaking into these gum machines and stealing the pennies. Do you know anything about it?
Yes, I'm the ringleader.
What's your name?
Two Gun Jean the Chickle Queen.
Come on, Mrs. Cooper.
Not until I copy down the name of the company who owns this one-finger bandit.
You're a stubborn one, aren't you?
For your information, it isn't the penny I'm interested in. It's the principle of the thing. I'm going to call up that company and demand my penny back.
Bully for you.
Mrs. Cooper, you're not really going to call that company, are you?
I most certainly am. It isn't the money, Katie.
It's the principle of the thing. I know.
Here it is. The Ballyhoo Vending Machine Company, Sycamore 3450.
And I hope you can get the line. I tried to call the cleaner this morning, and that Brooklyn blabbermouth was on the party line.
Well, I hope she's off by now.
So what's it to you, Eddie? What's it to you? Ah.
She's still yakking, Katie.
No.
Yep, Nasal Hazel herself.
Listen, Rudy, I want to know how come you're dating other guys, hey? I thought we was going steady.
Eddie, a girl with my charm can't be stingy. I gotta spread it around. It's the price I pay for having a personality with so many forces.
It must be those faucets that make you such a big drip.
Who said that?
I did. Look, will you please hang up? I'm in a hurry to use the phone.
I thought so. Eddie, Miss Big Ears is here.
Who's that?
She's the one I was telling you about.
Oh, the nosy thing with the dyed hair.
Now, wait a minute. You've never seen me. How do you know my hair's dyed? I mean, what makes you think my hair's dyed?
I listen on the phone, too, you know. I hear you ordering henna rinse by the gallon.
That happens to be for my maid, Katie. My hair is black.
From the sound of your voice, I believe it was polka dot.
Oh. She makes me so darn mad. Why doesn't she get off? The gum machine company will close in a few minutes.
We'll try again. Maybe she had a sudden attack of laryngitis.
Oh, no such luck. I'll try, but I know it's hopeless.
Frankly, Rudy, I don't see what you're seeing on Hyman Weissmussen you was out with last night.
Well, for one thing, he showed me a good time, which is more than I can say for some people.
Give me a for instance.
Take last night already. Last night we went driving in the moonlight, music was playing all the time, and we had delightful refreshments.
So what? I could do that too if I had a good humor truck.
Will you please get off the line? I only have a minute to make my call. You've been on here all day.
Listen, the least you could do is to let me make a few calls. It happens to be my day off.
Oh, really? When you're off, who sets up the pins at the bowling alley?
Why, you dirty...
Well, Liz is embarking on a crusade for individual rights with a campaign directed against the local dragon of oppression, the Ballyhoo Vending Machine Company. As we find her now, she is on her way to do battle, and George is dropping her off at ringside in front of the vending machine company.
There it is, Liz. Go get him.
You think I'm silly, don't you?
No, I don't. This is a good object lesson for you. If you stand up for your rights in the little things, you'll do it in the big ones.
Well, why don't you wait for me, George? It'll only take a second.
No, no, I have to go to the bank for a minute. I'll meet you for lunch in half an hour at Nicodell.
All right.
So long, Harry Nation.
I'd like to speak to the president of this crooked gum machine company.
Sorry, Mr. Ballyhoo is busy right now. You sound as though you have a complaint.
I have. I put a penny in that machine.
One moment, please. You'll have to see our complaint manager. Just go right in that office over there.
Thank you. I'd like to make a complaint.
So what's your problem, huh?
Oh, no. This can't be happening to me.
Hey, already. I know that voice. You're the crumb on my party line.
Well, Miss Blabbermouth.
Well, Miss Budinsky. So that's what you look like.
Oh, so that's what you look like. You know, I never dreamed you'd be an intelligent young lady with a charming manner and a pretty face.
Oh, you didn't?
No. How right I was.
Were you lying to me about having black hair? Or is your head on fire?
Well, deep down... down, I'll have to admit I was lying.
No, you weren't. Deep down, it is black.
Enough out of you. Isn't there anyone else I can speak to around here?
Sorry, sister. I'm the Ballyhoo Vending Company's only troubleshooter. What's biting you?
Well, I have been victimized by one of your incompetent vendors of chicles.
Ah.
To put it into words you can understand, I was robbed, hey.
You was, hey?
I put a penny in one of your crooked machines and nothing came out. I'd like my penny back.
Okay, if we've got your penny, you can have it back.
You got it, all right.
Describe it.
What do you mean, describe it?
Look, we get thousands of pennies every day. How do we know which one is yours? How do we know you lost one?
I'm telling you.
We can't trust you. You don't even know what color your own hair is. It is your own, ain't it?
All right, I'll describe the penny for you. It was round and made of copper, and it had a picture of Lincoln on it.
Abraham?
No, Nebraska.
Why are you so in love with that penny? Did Lincoln give it to you personally?
It's not the money, it's the principle of the thing. Are you going to give me my penny or not?
I'm not empowered to dish out a penny to every deadbeat who comes in here and hollers his or her head off, as the case may be. You'll have to fill out a refund complaint.
All right, let's fill it out and get it over with.
Okay. Name? Big Ears.
Just a minute. That's Mrs. George Cooper.
Address?
321 Bundy.
Business? Sticking a nose into other people's.
Look, I'll answer the questions if you don't mind.
All right. Date of birth?
Next question.
Date of birth?
1923.
My, you're big for your age, ain't you?
Oh, why is that question on there anyway?
It isn't. I just wanted to know.
Oh!
Next up, was the machine operated correctly?
Certainly it was operated correctly. Do you think I'm a moron?
One at a time. That's the answer to the next question.
I've had enough of this runaround. You'll hear from my lawyer.
Lawyer?
Yes. I'm going to get that penny back if it takes the last cent I've got. Of all the ridiculous things, wasting an afternoon arguing with that nitwit. Oh, what's the matter, little boy?
Oh, what you doing, Tom?
Well, but why are you crying? Have you lost your money?
No, but I'm too little to reach up to that gum machine.
Oh, kid, are you asking for trouble? Sweetie, look, honey, I'm telling you for your own good, stay short. Don't eat your bread crust.
What's your advice, lady? I just want some gum.
All right. Give me your penny, I'll put it in for you.
Thanks, lady.
Oh, I knew this would happen.
What?
The Ballyhoo Vending Machine Company has struck again.
No gum?
No gum.
You stole my penny.
What?
You stole my penny. This lady stole my penny. She stole my penny.
Hey, now wait a minute. I'll put in a penny of my own.
Thanks, lady.
Darn it, I don't have a penny. I'm sorry, honey. I just don't have one. What can I do?
Jiggle a lever.
Oh, that won't work. All right.
Get it with your hand. Pound it.
Oh, how did I get mixed up in this again?
Harder.
Was that hard enough?
Oh, boy, look at all the pennies.
Now, let those pennies alone. They don't belong to us.
But nobody's looking.
I don't care. Here's one for you. That's all we put in.
Is that all?
Well, I'll take one, too. I put one in another machine.
And I'll take one more.
What for?
I put one in another machine, too.
Where?
Don't ask questions about mine. I won't ask questions about yours.
Well, I really did. Now, let's see. What else could I take one for?
Yeah, how about one for the cop on the beat?
He's a cop!
Oh, well, hello, officer.
Oh, it's you. Still at it, eh? Well, we finally caught you red-handed.
What do you mean?
We've been after you for a long time. We figured there was an older person teaching these kids how to crack the gum machines. You ought to be ashamed.
Oh, officer, I can explain. I was just helping this little boy, wasn't I, Sonny?
Yeah, she helped me get the paint down.
Uh-huh.
Now, just a minute.
Look at her, she ripped it off the wall and smashed it on a sidewalk.
Why, you little stool pigeon.
Hey, keep talking, Sonny.
Now, after she smashed the machine, she started dividing up the loaf.
What are you doing, turning state's evidence?
Don't blame this sweet, helpless child. You're the one who's responsible for leading these innocent babes into a life of crime.
Oh, now, wait a
minute. Nothing you can say can make any difference. You're going to jail, Mrs. Fagan.
Come on, Liz. The car's parked down here.
George, are you mad at me?
Why should I be mad at you? It only cost me $50 to bail you out of jail. And another $50 for breaking the gum machine.
Now, remember what you said, George. It's not the money, it's the principle of the thing. I just happen to have expensive principles.
Well, I'm in no humor for jokes. Honestly, Liz, every time I turn around, you've landed in a mess. How do you do it?
I took a course in it at night school. come on. Smile at me, George. One of your pretty ones, huh?
No. And come on, don't stand in the middle of the street. You'll get hit.
Kiss me.
Liz.
I'm not moving from this spot till you kiss me.
Oh, now, don't be silly.
I mean it.
Oh, you crazy.
All right, come on, George.
Who can move?
Come on.
Okay. It's lucky I love you, or you'd never get away with things like this. Wait a minute, I want to get some cigarettes.
Oh, George. Not out of the machine, please.
Well, now, don't be silly, Liz. Well, these cigarette machines always work. Huh, they're not like the penny ones. Funny. No cigarettes came out.
George, please, just forget it, huh? It can happen to the best of us.
Well, not to me, it can.
George. George, don't jiggle the lever. It makes the machine mad, I'm telling you.
Now, leave me alone, Liz. I put my good money in here.
What's going on? Again, eh, Mrs. Fagan? I see you're using older boys now. You get $1,000 fine for this.
$1,000? Well, you don't understand, officer. I'm not working with this man that's hitting the machine.
You're not?
No, I never saw him before in my life.
Liz, how could you do this to me?
You're just a first offender, George. It isn't the principal thing, it's the money.
Come on, the both of you!
My Favorite Husband has been presented through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.